おいしいホリスティックラディオ Let's talk about food to sublime our being。 Hello everyone, this is Shinya here. It's been really a long time. So today, I want to share my interview with Dr. Joseph Pizzono with youDr. Pizzono is the author of The Toxin Solution, that is a profound 9-week natural detox protocol that I am incorporating in my health optimization program. Now I am a health coach and I'm so proud of it. I'm so excited and I can provide that service to anybody who has some concerns about their health. So I'm going to talk about that in a future episode probably. But today, Dr. Pizzono is Editor-in-Chief, Integrative Medicine, Clinician's Journal, President of SALU Geneticists Inc., and Treasurer Board of Directors, Institute for Functional Medicine, Founding President of Bastia University,author of Toxin Solution and co-author of 6 textbooks and 7 consumer books. So the last couple of years, I was in research for a good detoxification program since my liver felt somewhat sluggish and I had symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, so I had constipation, digestion problems, inconsistent appetite,and other myriad gut symptoms. That was kind of miserable. It had been actually like more than 4 or 5 years. But when I searched for detox on the web, actually most of them are quick, easy flash detox, such as like banana detox, pineapple detox, juice detox, or water fasting.Then I found his book at the bookstore, actually I went. His book was Toxin Solution. And I went through the 9-week program that was introduced in the book. It not only cleared most of my symptoms, but also I was very much educated about the relationship between environmental toxins and our health. So today I'm very, very excited to share this interview with you. There are many inspiring and interesting stories regarding the relationship between your healthy being and your food and your personal care products and all other surrounding environments. I really would like you to think about the importance of taking care of detox organs in your body.I actually flew to Seattle to meet him and introduce myself since I really wanted to make this relationship something worthwhile for both of us. I interviewed him in his beautiful living room overlooking Washington Lake with beautiful autumn sunny day, which is very rare in 270 days out of 365 days raining Seattle. It was gorgeous.Was breathtaking, actually. It was perfect day. Well, please enjoy.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Pizzono, for making time for me to talk to you today.
Well, I'm delighted by your interest in health and happy to help.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Firstly, I'd love to hear your brief history as a medical professional.
Okay.
And how you become drawn to like naturopathic medicine and detoxification.
Okay.So how much time do I have to answer that question?
5 minutes, I would say.
Okay. So very quickly, I, like many people of my generation, never knew about anything other than conventional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working in medical research at the University of Washington School of Medicine, Department of Rheumatology, and I was loving doing medical research, and I thought, you know, I think I'd like to go off and get a PhD in medical research after my undergraduate degree in chemistry. And so I was working with MDs and PhDs literally all over the country trying to find a cure for arthritis. And our lab was looking at gout and rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had dinner with my roommate and his wife. I graduated from Harvard Mudd College down in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And during dinner, she said, well, my juvenile rheumatoid arthritis is cured now. And I said, what? The arthritis you've had since a teenager is cured? How is that possible? Because that's an incurable disease. You know, I'm working with all these other people trying to figure that out. And she said, well, I went to a naturopathic doctor. I said, well, what's that? I didn't know there was anything other than MDs, okay? So I went to this naturopathic doctor and I asked him, so what did you do for my friend? He said, well, I taught her to eat properly, gave her some vitamins, and detoxified her liver. Mm. So what does her liver and her diet have to do with her having swollen joints? So that I thought that was interesting. Grabbed my attention, didn't make me change anything, but grabbed my attention. And then also during this period of time, I had become a vegetarian, mm. more because of kind of spiritual reasons than anything else. Mm-hmm. And being a vegetarian, I saw my body go through changes. So I asked one of the MDs I was working with in research, what do these changes mean? And his answer was, remember, this is 50 years ago, half a century ago.
Right.
His answer was, these are errors in your observation because diet does not affect you. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think most medical doctors would say that today. Mm-hmm. I think men, looking at how they function, I think they still believe it. But, you know, half a century ago, that was standard medical dogma. Mm-hmm. And so I, being very objective, I asked the naturopathic doctor exactly the same questions.
Right.
I say, I saw these three things happen. What do they mean? And he went to his bookshelf, pulled Guidance Medical Physiology off his bookshelf, mm-hmm. and that was the standard textbook of conventional medicine at that time. And he then leafed through the index and then showed me physiologically what was going on. I thought, that's interesting. The naturopath understands physiology and health better than the MDs. And the MDs are great at the drugs, but there's another area they don't seem to be very good at. Still wasn't enough to convince me. Okay, but now I was starting to get intrigued. I started doing some reading. It's kind of interesting. And then I was helping out an MD who had just graduated and was doing a postdoc. And she was doing a postdoc on trying to determine if a new drug for arthritis would be effective. You know, typical double-blind placebo-controlled studies, and it starts off by doing it in animals. Mm-hmm. So the animal model that we were using, or actually say she was using, was a duck animal model, because they got these billed feet, and they're really easy to look at their joints to see if they're swollen or not.
Oh,
so it's a good model for the study. So, and they're genetically bred to mm-hmm. get arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we checked, went through, yep, we got the right ducks, and we went to the vivarium to check them out, and we got the vivarium, and you see these poor ducks in these cages, by yay, you want to make that about that long, and these ducks, and they look miserable, okay?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if you have a pet, you know, if your pet's not happy, you know about it.
Right.
I mean, I had a duck as a pet, by some just as well, but it was obvious, look at them, they weren't happy. So being a kind-hearted woman, you want your doctor to be kind-hearted, mm-hmm. she got together with her husband, and they got an empty lab, and they created a little duck run for the duck. So they put some plywood and put some sand down. They got a little plastic swimming pool, put some water in it, brought some fresh fruits and vegetables, and took them out of the cage, let them run around this healthier environment.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's fine. So then we said, okay, fine, let's wait for them to get the arthritis, and we give them the drugs. And we waited and waited. They didn't get arthritis.
Wow.
Genetically bred to get arthritis, didn't get arthritis. So we had a going away kind of, I should say, sad party for this woman who, and on all the MDs and PhDs there were consoling this poor woman because her postdoc mm-hmm. study had failed and it was just terrible. And I was looking at them, but didn't say anything. I was looking at them and saying, wait a minute, don't you get it? They didn't need the drug because even though they're genetically bred to get the disease,
right.
by putting them in a healthy environment, giving good nutrition mm-hmm. such, they didn't get the disease. Don't you see what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go the conventional medicine route. I think I'm going to go try out the naturopath. And so and it turned out the last naturopathic college in all of North America just happened to be in Seattle. Because the AMA had been so effective at pretty much destroying the profession.
Yes, that's right.
But there's one school left. They didn't quite kill us. And too bad for them, because we're coming back.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how I got into it. It just, I had no prior interest in health. I was interested in research, but the research, the clinical observations, mm-hmm. they just grabbed my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading research. Now, when reading research then, you couldn't go online to PubMed. You had to go into the medical school libraries, mm-hmm. go through the index, paper indexes, then walk the aisles to go get the journals. I mean, it was a lot of work. But I started walking the aisles, I started pulling articles, and I was thinking, wow, look at this research. Now, it's mainly animal research, but looking at animals with having their human diseases induced by nutritional abnormalities and by environmental by environmental toxins. I'm thinking, well, if it's doing that to animals, how about humans? Then I started looking, and up until about the 1960s and 70s, there was some really good research being done, all before PubMed got indexed online. So I was looking at all this original research and saying, wow, there's something really significant here. So I went to Naturopathic College, got enrolled, but then realized that it was the last school that was still existent. Most of the classes were taught by the naturopathic doctors on evenings and weekends, weekends just to keep the medicine alive. So they were not professional teachers. Education wasn't very good. So while the body of knowledge was special, they weren't great at educating that body of knowledge. But I want to be real clear, I'm not critiquing them. These brave men and women kept the medicine alive despite huge opposition. Some of my teachers were taken out in handcuffs in front of their patients for daring to tell the patients, instead of taking that drug, why don't you use nutrition and lifestyle instead? I mean, that's how bad it had gotten.
Really?
So one of my teachers would drive 300 miles on a weekend just to teach us a body of knowledge that he knew that was pretty much just about dead anywhere else in the world. He was the only one who knew these things anymore. So on the one hand, it was a wonderful experience with these doctors.
Right.
But on the other hand, the education wasn't very good. So when I graduated in 1975, I got myself elected in the next year to the board of directors of the school. And I made a pledge to the student body that I would spend 2 years trying to help the school get up to modern standards of education. If I couldn't get them to move, I would start my own school. Well, in 1978, I couldn't get them out of a bunker mentality, because you know, conventional medicine destroyed them, and they were afraid that if they became at all visible, they'd just get stomped.
Yeah.
I said, you know, this is too important. I'm not gonna let that happen. So I then mentioned to my receptionist that, hey, I want to start a school and do it right. She mentioned it to her mother, whom I had treated for rheumatoid arthritis. And her mother said, oh, and I'd helped her a lot. And her mother said, well, what a great idea. She sent me a check for $200. And with $200, I founded John Bachelor College of Naturopathic Medicine. And we eventually became Bachelor University. Yeah, $200. Because there was no money. I mean, no foundation will give us any money. The doctors that are in the field, they didn't have money. They're struggling to stay alive. You look at media stories about natural medicine, they're all negative about some poor kid eating a castor oil plant being in the backyard and poisoning themselves. I mean, it was all negative. There was nothing there, except, as Dr. Bastier said, no matter the obstacles they place, the truth of our medicine will out. So the truth of the medicine, the truth of medicine kept it alive.
Right. Wow.
So long answer to your short question.
That's a great story. I think I'm really inspired by not only like, you know, just how Bastier actually was created, but also like start from the beginning, there zero.
Nothing.
And you only had $200 and you created that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. When I was in school way back in the early 70s, the most current textbook in naturopathic medicine had been written in the year I was born. I mean, there were no modern textbooks whatsoever. So now you have to start the school and do it on a science-based, I coined the term science-based natural medicine for what I wanted to create. We had to write the textbooks because there was you know, the basic sciences, you know, you know, physiology, anatomy, things like that. We just use conventional textbooks because basic science is not owned by anybody. You know, just how the body works. But then try and get into the how you understand people naturally, how you understand what people's nutritional deficiencies are, how you understand what their environmental toxins are, how you use herbal medicines to treat people. That was all, we all had to recreate it all.
So, okay, so you founded the Bastier University. But Bastier University is a naturopathic medicine, basically, right?
Well, it's a university of natural medicine.
University of natural medicine.
Right, so naturopathic medicine, nutrition, acupuncture, herbal medicine, lifestyle, behavior. We have, we actually have maybe got almost 20 degree programs now. But naturopathic medicine is by far the biggest.
So was it before you created Bastier University, you got into the detoxification, you already know how toxins actually affects our body?
Well, a foundational naturopathic concept is our bodies have tremendous ability to heal, and our job is to understand why it's not healing. And almost always it's because they're lacking some nutrient that they need, or they have too much of a nutrient, like too much sugar or whatever, or there's a toxin that's blocking the body from working properly. So I always have always been very aware of this issue.
I see.
But having said that, I delved into the whole toxin area much more deeply about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So 10 years ago, one of the wealthiest men in Canada, his name is Alan Markin, it's a public story, so I'm not revealing anything that's confidential. He was the founder of a company, a co-founder of a company called Canadian Natural Resources Limited, CNRL.
Okay.
And it's the second largest oil and gas company in Canada at that time. And he really cared a lot about his employees. I mean, he's a great guy. And so out of his own pocket, he was doing wellness programs for his employees. But he was using kind of conventional wellness programs. And he was only getting modest benefit. So he heard about me. He sent his personal Learjet from Calgary, Alberta, down to Seattle to pick me up, to bring me to Seattle, to bring me up to Calgary. And he said, I want you to develop a naturopathic detoxification, a naturopathic health promotion program for my employees. I said, well, happy to do that, you know. But, you know, while I'm a true believer in natural medicine, I'm also very, very objective, very, very research-driven. So I said, before I can tell people what they need to do, I need to test them. I need to analyze the nutritional status, analyze their toxic load, analyze their physiological function. How much can I spend on lab tests? He said, blank check. I said, blank check? Remember, this is a wealthy guy, okay? So he said, yes, if you can convince me that I should run the test, I will pay for it. So I did $1,500 of lab tests in 4,500 oil field workers. So I got a huge amount of data, which I loved, because I could then go through with all, you know, well, you know, all my, you know, various databases to extract out data, look for correlations, things like this.
Yes.
And two things jumped out at me. Number one is less than 1% of the people weren't deficient in at least one nutrient, and most people were deficient in multiple nutrients. Okay, these people who are supposedly general kind of average Canadians, nutritional deficiencies were rampant. Over 85% were deficient in vitamin D, for example. But I also found a lot of toxicity. And I was kind of surprised by the amount of toxicity I was seeing. So we went through, we developed programs, give people nutrients, actually gave them free vitamins. We went through, we focused mainly on mercury. And so we found a lot of mercury in the people. So he actually paid to get fillings out of people's mouths through an ecological dentist. Because if you take a mercury filling out of your mouth, amalgam fillings, silver fillings, they're 55% mercury. So if you have somebody take it out, they've got to know what they're doing. Because if they drill it, it puts all this mercury into the brain. So you have to take, you have to ship it out. And there's a whole protocol you have to follow properly.
Okay.
So we found a lot of people with high levels of mercury. When we got the mercury out of them, they got a bunch healthier. We had one guy who had so many symptoms improved that actually I published an article on about how well he did just by getting mercury out of his body. So that started getting me looking into, wow, one toxin, mercury, causing all that toxicity. So then I started looking at more and more research, and I was stunned by what I found. There's so much research now showing that environmental toxins have become the primary drivers of chronic disease all over the world. So now I'm lecturing, again, literally all over the world. Like, I just got back 2 weeks ago from, no, actually a week ago, from lecturing in Moscow. And I was lecturing to 250 medical doctors there, showing them how environmental toxins are causing so much disease in their patients. So anyway, so I looked at the data. Yeah, the data's there. And then I started using that more in my clinical practice, developing all these protocols to get toxins out of people safely. And that's a big factor. A lot of people want to do a detoxification program. And the problem with that is, if you do a detox program that releases toxins into your body without your organs of elimination functioning accurately to get them out of your body, you can make yourself worse. So remember in my book, Toxin Solution, I take people through an 8-week program before we even start doing detox. Because you got to get the body ready. First off, you have to learn how to avoid the toxins. You got to clean up your gut. You got to clean up your liver. You got to clean up your kidneys. Now you can do detoxification.
So after the 8 weeks, now you can do detoxification.
Yes, right.
Not the 8 weeks. 8 weeks is just a preparation.
Don't detox until your body's ready.
Oh, you mean, so you're saying like detoxification, you're speaking about like lymph massage and those kind of detoxification, or?
So it depends on what you're doing. But a lot of the things people talk about doing for detoxification, since the people's of organs of elimination aren't functioning properly, they're not going to be very good, and you're just as likely to increase your toxins.
And that's the reason why people get kind of sick after they do that kind of lymph massage or oil massage or whatever.
And massage is a great way to loosen up toxins from the tissues.
Right.
But if your gut's full of toxic bacteria, your liver's overloaded, and your kidney's overloaded because you've been taking all these drugs, you know, like people taking nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like acetaminophen and things of this nature, they basically overload the kidneys. Mm-hmm. So the kidneys now, because of those drugs, they can't get rid of the other toxins because all the capacity is already used up.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm obviously oversimplifying things a bit, but that's the general concept. Is if your liver is already overloaded with stuff and you add more stuff to it, good things are not going to happen. It could be bad things.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm on a detoxification right now.
Okay.
I'm on a phase 3.
Okay.
And until yesterday, actually, I had so much like brain fog, pain, and my eyes are kind of foggy.
Yeah.
When I did that last time, you know, this last January, I felt the same, but it is worse now. So I thought, why is it? Because I did that 6 months ago, but now I already have this kind of... What do you think why I have worse kind of, you know, symptoms, like detox?
So assuming that you're doing it properly, you've now given your body a message that you've got a way to get rid of toxins. So now they've been stored in these deep tissues to try to keep them away from your active tissues.
I see.
Now you've got a way to get rid of them, your body's going to be really happy. Now, it's possible you're doing something that's not working right for your body, but it's the fact that the very first time you did this, you had such a positive reaction, tells me most likely that's what your body's doing. So, for example, let's look at lead. Over 90% of the lead in the body is in the bones. Researchers are calling these things obesogens and diabetogens because they cause these things. So researchers are theorizing that one reason people are getting obese today is because many of these toxins, particularly the most difficult to get rid of ones, are fat-soluble. So the body is storing more fat to dilute the toxins, to put them in the fat cells, which are not very active, get them out of our regular cells that we need to stay alive. Fasting enter. So, for example, now with patients, I've done this for years now, who come to me with weight problems, I say, you know, I'm not going to put you on a weight loss program. All we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to get toxins out of your body. The weight just goes away. You don't have to go weight loss program. Just get rid of the toxins. Now, having said that, if you're consuming way too many calories, well, of course your body's going to store this fat because that's normal. But most of the time now, most of the fat that's being stored is because of the toxins.
So you're suggesting probably after detoxification is actually a good way to lose weight as well.
The most effective way to lose weight, I'll tell you right now, avoid toxins. Stop eating wheat, do strength training to build your muscle mass, you do those three things, most people are going to lose their weight. Oh, and the fourth thing is, eat real food. And if you're eating processed foods, you're going to have problems anyway. But just simply, get the toxins out, don't eat wheat. For some reason, I know what the reasons are. Wheat is one of the worst things that people can eat these days, unfortunately, for most people. And then build your muscle mass, and finally eat real food. And don't expect to lose huge amounts of weight all of a sudden. What you want to say is, I'm just going to live healthily. Watch what happens to you 6 months later. You know, you're going to get rid of so much unnecessary weight.
I see.
And because you're now living healthfully, you won't take it back. You won't get it back. Because when people go on weight loss programs, they go like that. They gain a bunch of weight, then lose a bunch of weight. They gain a bunch of weight, then lose a bunch of weight.
That's the problem.
Because they're not living healthfully. If you live healthfully, what happens? The weight will go down to what's right for your body. And maybe it'll take 6 months. Maybe it'll take a year. But as long as you're living healthfully, you'll be at the right weight for you.
I think your detox program is pretty long. But I think the great part about it is, you know, you can implement that as a habit so that you're going to be more healthier and happier. Because, for example, like, you know, clean up phase, the very fast phase, it's like pretty hard at the beginning, especially for the people.
The first 2 weeks are the hardest.
Probably for most of the people. But for me, it's not that difficult because I already implemented that kind of habit in my life.
Good.
So, you know, you can do that. I think that's a huge, huge benefit for the people.
So that's one of the subtle things about the book is, you know, we're giving people a clear goal, but in the process, I'm teaching them how to live healthfully. And what happens is after I've done this 8 weeks and the 9 week, the week detox, they're feeling so much better. Say, wow, I want to feel like this all the time.
Right.
In order to feel like this all the time, I have to live healthfully.
Yeah. And after you detox, actually, you don't really feel like eating like bad food.
You've broken
the
habits.
Yeah, right.
You've broken the habits. You've broken the addictions.
Exactly.
So a lot of these foods are very addictive. Wheat is very addictive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I think that's a huge benefit of this detox program.
Yes.
I love it about it.
Yes. So, and something I guess I want your readers or your people viewing this to realize, our bodies have tremendous ability to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get everything perfectly right.
Right.
You just have to get most of it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you get most of it right, we can adapt and we can function.
Mm-hmm.
But that adaptability and that ability to function within less than ideal circumstances also is a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people are relatively younger and they live really unhealthy lifestyles,
mm-hmm.
the body can still adapt to it. But
mm-hmm.
the problem is you're building up toxins and you're building up damage.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be aware of it yet. Then you hit 50 or 60. Now, all of a sudden, all this disease starts happening. You think, oh, let's normally get disease when you get older. No, it isn't. It is normal. It is normal because that's what everybody does. But that's not what's predetermined. You don't have to be diseased when you get older.
Yeah, I didn't say this, but you look so healthy.
Oh, thank you.
And your skin tone is amazing. Actually,
yeah, I'm blessed with some good genetics, but
mm-hmm.
not all my genetics are good. But I try to practice what I preach, and actually, I'm getting more radical as I've gotten older, because now I'm seeing family and friends in my age group, they're dead or they have major disease
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
they're just kind of done with life.
No, sir.
And you know me, I motorcycle tour with my wife literally all over the world. So I get invited. For example, I just got invited. I got invited to speak in Norway 2 years ago.
Mm.
Actually, it was invited to speak in London,
yeah.
but then we went to Norway,
yeah.
and we did a week and a half motorcycle touring in Norway. Beautiful country, just loved it.
Okay.
And you know, it's like I live a very full life because I keep the toxins out, I get the nutrients in.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's my goal.
Good.
To be like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Very kind.
Seriously. And, I have a question, actually. So many people actually think our own body already has its own detoxification functionality.
Yes.
And it's detoxifying when the toxin comes into our system.
Yes.
But why do you think we still need additional detoxification nowadays?
Great. Okay. So perfect question.
Mm-hmm.
So about 25% of the energy we produce every day is for mm-hmm. detoxification, because our normal mm-hmm. metabolic processes produce toxins,
right.
and so we have to get rid of them. So as long as everything's working fine, working, that's good. But there's a couple of things that have happened that have made this a very, very big issue. Number one is, for much of the detoxification happens through the liver, and the liver dumps the toxins into the gut.
Mm-hmm.
But the gut is expecting there to be fiber there to then bind to the toxins that
mm-hmm.
have been eliminated. As we evolved as a species, we consumed 100 to 150 grams of fiber a day.
Mm-hmm.
We now consume 15 to 20 grams of fiber a day.
Exactly.
So one of the key mechanisms
mm-hmm.
doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A good example is mercury. So we excrete about 1% of the total body load of mercury into the gut every day.
Mm-hmm.
and then reabsorb 99% of it through intrahepatic recirculation.
Mm.
Because what's happening is if there's not fiber there, it gets absorbed back into the body.
So
one reason you have to do this is because we've actually sabotaged our detoxification systems.
Mm-hmm.
First off, by not having enough fiber in the gut. But the second part is by nutritional deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
So these enzymes in the body that do detoxification require nutrients and they require energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the nutrients aren't there, they're not going to work. They're not going to work very well.
Mm.
But then we have another problem, and that is many of these toxins were intentionally designed to be difficult to break down by biological systems.
Oh.
So we have a class of toxins called persistent organic pollutants.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what these are typically halogenated hydrocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
And so Teflon, for example, is a fluorinated hydrocarbon.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the pesticides that are being used today, I'm kind of hesitant to use brand names. They put chlorine into these things,
yeah.
which makes them very, very toxic to insects, okay? And in order for us to detoxify these chlorinated pesticides,
mm-hmm.
You have to first take out the chlorine,
mm-hmm.
and then you can break down the rest of the chemical.
Amazing.
Well, it turns out that the enzyme called dehalogenase in humans works very, very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're exposed to one of these chlorinated hydrocarbons,
mm-hmm.
and they're also fluorinated, they're also brominated,
mm-hmm.
they're almost impossible to get rid of.
Oh, okay.
The worst of them turns out to be PCBs. These are polychlorinated biphenyls.
Right.
So these were used industrially, and they were banned 40 years ago,
right,
which is good news. But they are persistent organic pollutants, which means once again to the environment, they're hard to break down. Once again to our bodies, they're almost impossible to get rid of. So the half-life of PCBs in the body is 3 to 25 years.
Oh my goodness.
So once again, your body, almost impossible to get rid of. You might say, well, why is that a problem? Well, they block the production of thyroid hormone in your thyroid, for example. They give women rheumatoid arthritis. They give women breast cancer. So I can go through and look at all these diseases. You see, as that particular toxin goes up, breast cancer goes up, thyroid dysfunction goes up. You can go on and on and on.
Right.
So what do you got to do? You got to get them out of the body. And because it's hard to break down, you have to use some really sophisticated detox programs to get them out, because our normal systems won't get rid of them. They were designed so that our system couldn't get rid of them.
I see. So what the main nutrients are most deficient in our system nowadays?
So it's a little different for men and women.
Okay.
But in general, virtually the entire population is deficient in one or more nutrients. The ones I pay the most attention to are fiber, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D, magnesium. If you said, can I only say four, those are the four that I would say.
I see. Okay. So would you recommend taking supplements or just eat good food?
There's no substitute for real food.
Okay.
And having said that, because our environment is so toxic and because foods have lost so much nutritional value over the years, I think dietary supplements are necessary.
I see.
For example, I choose to live in Seattle, in a city, okay? Because I live in a city, there's more particulate matter in the air, for example, and there's more benzene in there. There's all these toxins.
Right.
It's a load on the body, and you need more vitamins to get rid of them.
So I have many questions, but I think most of them you already talked about. I have a couple, actually, specific questions, especially for Japanese people in Japan. And many people are concerned having exposed to radioactivity since Fukushima meltdown in 2011. What type of detoxification do you think the most important for decreasing the amount of radioactive toxins?
So I think it's important to be sure about whether you have radioactive toxins or not.
Okay.
I think that's limited to a relatively smaller area of Japan. So if you are in an area where you think you may be exposed, you should probably should test and see. And then you should do a program specifically for whatever radioactive elements you're exposed to. Now, they typically give people iodine for cesium and things like that. But it really depends upon the toxin. And what you tend to do is you look at that particular toxin, then look at which minerals it competes with, and take a whole lot more of those minerals. Because then the body will use those minerals to displace the toxin.
Oh, okay.
And in general, also, if you have more radiation exposure, that's where more antioxidants and things like that are important. And when I talk about antioxidants, most people will say, oh, antioxidants, well, I'll just take a lot of vitamin E. But the problem is we have multiple types of oxidants we're exposed to, and each type has a particular nutrient that's best for it. So rather than high dose of one, which might be great for this one, I recommend modest doses of the whole range of them so you protect every possible source of oxidative damage you're getting. So whether it's ozone from the air you're breathing or particulate matter or radiation that you're being exposed to, you want to make sure you're covering all the bases.
I see.
Okay. So for example, do you like blueberries? One of the best predictors of brain longevity, brain health longevity, is how much blueberries people are eating, because they're blue because of the what are called the anthocyanins in the blueberries, which are very protective of the tissues against oxidative damage.
So you're suggesting instead of taking one type of antioxidant, you should probably take a variety of antioxidant. Same applies to food antioxidant as well. So that blueberries, all the berries to all the vegetables to all the things.
I don't know if you noticed when you came in, but I have 12 blueberry plants in my yard. And I got about 80 pounds of blueberries, and my freezer is full of blueberries. And these are blueberries I've been growing myself for 30 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Really?
So they've been given really good nutrition. We've avoided all the toxins. They're really, really healthy.
That's really cool. Okay. I have a blueberry in my house too.
Good.
Actually, in the freezer all the time.
Great. Yeah. Great.
I take that smoothie in the morning. Okay, so I think you already talked about the mercury stuff, but for Japanese people also.
Mercury, a big issue.
Yeah.
Yes. So with mercury, there's several strategies.
Right.
And so number one is, it's fine to eat fish, but you want to eat the smaller fish that are lower in mercury.
Right.
And it's not only are they lower in mercury, but they're also lower in PCBs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to eat farm fish unless they've been tested for PCBs.
Okay.
Because the main source of PCBs for people now is eating farm fish.
Oh.
And it's because the feed they use is high in PCBs.
Right.
Okay. So one is decrease your exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Second is make sure you get a lot of fiber,
because
that's how the body normally gets rid of the mercury, is through fiber in the gut.
Okay.
And then if a person has high levels, I will give them N-acetylcysteine, that's NAC.
Okay.
N-acetylcysteine does two things. One is it binds to methylmercury directly, gets out through the urine, which is good. Okay. And so if you're eating fish, you're getting methylmercury.
Mm.
So NAC is critical for people who eat fish, but also increase the production of glutathione in the body. And what makes glutathione particularly interesting, again, around mercury, by the way, I've read about 2,000 articles on mercury. Okay, so I studied this real deep because when I was doing this corporate wellness program, Alan was really interested in mercury.
Uh-huh.
He said, Joe, I'm going to pay you to spend time just study mercury. So I read 2,000 articles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what's fascinating about glutathione is that glutathione will pump mercury from the brain across the blood-brain barrier and put it into the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in the blood, mercury will be bound to glutathione in the liver and gets it out through the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So glutathione is absolutely critical for protect from mercury, getting rid of mercury. And then, and also not just to get rid of the mercury, but also protects from the oxidative damage from the mercury.
Okay.
And then you want to make sure you get plenty of trace minerals. For example, the selenium, for example, is very important. Your trace minerals are really important for that.
Really? Okay. So glutathione, so is that why probably, you know, I started like phase 3 a couple of days ago, and I totally feel like my brain is, you know, kind of foggy.
If your brain's feeling foggy, you're actually detoxifying too fast. You're detoxifying, so you're releasing toxins from your tissues faster than your organs' elimination.
Mm.
So you need to slow down a little bit.
Oh, okay. So that means I should probably cut down a little bit of the glutathione and NAC, those kind of stuff.
No, I think those things are okay.
Those are okay.
We have to talk about exactly what's going on with you.
Yeah.
You know, are you losing weight, for example?
Yeah, at the beginning, yes.
Yeah, so see, whenever you lose weight, all those toxins stored in the fat are now released.
Oh.
That's not
even though I'm skinny.
Even though you're skinny. Because you're losing weight,
you're losing fat.
Either you're losing fat or muscle, it's going to be one or the other.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So one of the reasons why people have trouble losing weight is as they start losing weight, the fat starts dissolving, all those toxins in the fat are being released in circulation, and they get toxic. So I'm losing weight. Oh, God, I feel crappy. I can't keep on this weight loss program. Let me eat. As soon as they eat, they stop losing weight and they feel better. Well, they feel better because they're not detoxifying as much, but they're not better. They just stop the detox program.
Oh, I see.
So again, anybody doing a weight loss program, you got to have lots of fiber and make sure you got plenty of glutathione because as those toxins come out, you got to get them out of the body as fast as possible.
I see.
Which is why make sure your gut's working properly, your liver's working properly, your kidney's working properly.
Okay, all right. So lastly, if you can tell us three most important things for us to obtain our best health, what would they be?
Eat real food.
Okay.
Maintain muscle strength.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid environmental toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And have loving relationships. I can keep on going. Next one's going to be sleep. I mean, there's all these things you got to do, but if it limits me just four, those are the four.
Okay, that's beautiful. All right, I think that's pretty much it for today.
Yeah,
that's
great.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you
very
much. That was a beautiful interview.
I wish you total success.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Because our world is sick and it does not need to be.
Mm-hmm. I'll try my best to spread your wonderful detox program.
Oh, thank you.
Program.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Dr. Joseph Pizzorno. I hope it was educational and enjoyable. Now our food, environment, personal care products, cleaning products, herbicide and pesticides, paints, cosmetic products, and even in our clothes have increased amount of toxic chemicals. In addition to those environmental toxins, the number of pills we are taking also increasing year after year. Our body is simply overloaded with toxins that are well over capacity of our detox organs. This is causing a countless number of malfunctions and chronic diseases. But good news is, as Dr. Pizzono was saying, we have amazing self-healing mechanism. If we can avoid those toxins and take care of detoxification organs and get rid of them, we can still maintain our health at maximum, avoid future chronic illness that many of us are suffering from. Please, if you are willing to be informed and interested in this detox program, go to the website http://holisticnational.com to obtain more information. Next detox program I'm going to run has been planned to start January 2020. Japanese version of this interview will be uploaded on our YouTube channel soon. Thank you again for listening to my podcast. Have a wonderful, oishi, holistic week, and see you soon again.